doing what art would normally do, if it wasn't emotionally compromised, and looking at just the verifiable data, we didn't know if the crew had been abducted, left voluntarily, or escaped. Since Art's two shuttles were still docked, we knew the crew hadn't used them to leave. Or the crew could have tried to escape and been spaced. I wasn't going to mention it because Art had to know that it was a possibility. But it might have eliminated it from its decision tree, knowing it couldn't function otherwise. There was no point in considering it. Not now. We had to search until we found an answer. If that was the answer, we'd deal with it then. I said, "We need to do a full inventory, particularly of your hand weapon storage. If your crew had to abandon you when the targets compromised your systems, they may have forced their way on board the Explorer." The pause was long, 3.4 seconds. Then Art said, "Agreed." And it hit me then that Art had been desperate and terrified since the moment the bearish Astronza Explorer had sidled up and done whatever it had done. It had tricked its captors into taking it to me, not because it had some kind of grand strategy, but because it needed me. I hate emotions. On the private channel between Art and me, I said, "I apologize for calling you a fucker." It said, "I apologize for kidnapping you and causing potential collateral damage to your clients." Amina was watching me, her brows drawn together. "Are you two talking?" "Yes." I had to look at the wall now. Amina was still worried. "Are you fighting again? Or are you making up? Because it looks exactly the same from the outside." "We're making up," Art told her. "Good!" Amina looked relieved. "Good. Right. What's next on our list?" I went to search the Bearish Astronza transport shuttle. I wasn't expecting to find anything, but it was on the action list, so why not? Art had notified Arata that while it was working on the engines, it was also prepping a squad of Pathfinders just in case we had to search the colony planet. I hope it didn't come to that. I don't like planets. Pathfinders are like drones for space, basically. Active scanners that would zip around the planet collecting environmental information and terrain imaging, plus looking for comm signals, possible energy sources, and whatever might be planning to kill us. It's the kind of thing that my ex-owner bond company did via satellite when they prepared to issue safety bonds for a newly opened survey planet. Except the company's satellite would mainly be mapping the entire planet, and the Pathfinders would be looking for potential locations where Art's crew might be. They were really expensive, not something normal survey teams had access to. Arata was impressed. You couldn't rent Pathfinders from the company, not only because of the cost. They made planetary exploration safer and more targeted, so therefore less need for massive bond companies to rent you all sorts of expensive planetary exploration gear and sell you expensive safety bonds. I was monitoring Tiago's casual conversation with Elytra while the med platform was doing a deep scan on her. Oversay was in the maintenance bay reassembling the repair drone I had found in engineering so it could start repairing the other damaged drones. Arata was reviewing the scans of the alien engine remnant, but everything that was left of it seemed to be melting or decomposing, so most of the data was garbage. As Oversay pointed out, the thing was illegal to have anyway, so if it melted completely, it would be for the best, but it looked like it was still going to leave a residue that would have to be scraped off Art's engines. Rati was shepherding a biohazard cleaning unit through the corridors and picking up pieces of dead target drones. Amina followed me to the shuttle, dragging her feet. She really needed to sleep. I hadn't heard anything from Arata about it, so I put humans need to take rest periods on the general action list. Up in the central corridor, Rati saw it and muttered, "Please, yes, soon." I did a brief visual check on both of Art's shuttles. just to verify that they were empty and hadn't been tampered with. The bearish Estranza shuttle was parked inside the same docking module, attached to a module lock, which had an extendable tube to enclose the hatch. Art had said there was no one inside the shuttle and no active bot pilot, but I made Amina hang back down the corridor with her assigned drones while I approached. The hatch was sealed, but not code-locked, which made sense when we thought Elytra and Ross were telling the truth about being captured, trying to escape from their doomed transport. Now that we were certain it hadn't happened that way, who the hell knew? Art had cut the shuttle off from the feed. I touched the lock cautiously. Considering the inactive state of its onboard systems, I wasn't expecting alien killware or a sentient virus or something else unspecified to leap across and infect me. But the fact remained that something had happened to Art, despite all its protections, and alien killware was still a possibility. I still couldn't pick up any feed activity, so I pushed up one sleeve and adjusted my energy weapon to deliver a pulse that caused the seal to disengage. The hatch slid open, releasing a puff of slightly stale air. It didn't have the algae growth medium smell associated with the targets. In fact, it had traces of the dirty sock smell associated with humans. But then, an absence of evidence is not evidence of absence, or past absence. Whatever, you know what I mean. I used my own scan, making sure there was no movement or active weapons inside, and stepped in. The shuttle wasn't a model I had been in before, but the configuration was similar to a standard transport shuttle. It was small, sized for 10 humans at most, no cabins, a toilet facility that folded out from the bulkhead. Ugh. The individual seats were in a spiral in the main compartment, so they would have to be cycled around to release each passenger for disembarking. It was obviously meant for short trips between ships or from ship to station. The cockpit had a seat for a human pilot next to the currently absent bot pilot's interface console. The upholstery showed signs of ordinary wear and tear. The single passenger compartment was generally clean, but there were scuff marks on the panels and padding. There was only a 0.01% chance it had been constructed as a trap by an alien intelligence. It was a theory, okay? On our private feed connection, Amina said, "Is it empty? Is there anything strange in it? Can I come closer?" "You can come to the hatch, but not inside." I started searching for physical evidence. I would need to check all the storage compartments, anywhere there might be a hidden space that could conceal something. The drive housing still had the factory seal from its last maintenance check, so it probably hadn't been infected with illegal alien remnant technology. I'd have to break the seal and do a visual inspection anyway, just to be certain. I also needed to pull the logs, but I'd have to do it via a display surface. Even with an inert operating system, I didn't want to take any chances. Amina came up to the hatch and leaned inside to look around.
"If you need me to do anything, I can do it."
I pinged her feed to acknowledge. She watched me search for 7 minutes and 40 seconds, then said,
"Can I ask you a question?"
I never know how to answer this. Should I go with my first impulse, which is always no, or just give in to the inevitable? I said, "Is it contract relevant?" Big adolescent human sigh noise.
"I just want to understand something."
I gave in to the inevitable. "Yes." She hesitated.
"Right. So my second mom really didn't ask you to break up me and Marn?"
I had answered that question already, back when it happened. I could get mad at her asking it again, but granted, I do lie a lot. "I wasn't lying to you. She doesn't know anything about it unless you told her." I finished the search of the cabin and pinged Art. It generated a display surface with a disabled feed interface, so it couldn't transmit anything that might be in the shuttle's systems to Art, me, or anything else. Amina still had questions.
Then why did you do it? You didn't... You don't... care about me. You didn't really even know me then.
Why does art like adolescent humans? This was exhausting. I have files on all the members of Dr. Mensah's family and their associates. I alerted on Marn because I ran threat assessments on all humans and augmented humans attempting to approach or form new relationships with Dr. Mensah or her family or associates after the Grey Chris incident. Marn registered as a threat to you. Amina thought about that while I made a connection between the console and the sequestered display surface. Then I started to run the shuttle's raw log files on the display, filtering out anything that wasn't text. I was recording the information visually, and then I could convert it back to data fields and search it more quickly. That way we'd get the log information without any underlying code that might be hidden in it. There are visual elements that could cause me problems, but I could screen for those, and granted, the chances that the log file might be protected against a SEC unit doing a visual download were running under 5%. I know, I'm paranoid, but that's how I've avoided being rendered for spare parts all this time. Amina said slowly,
I guess if he wasn't, he would have wanted to explain himself instead of running off and refusing to speak to me again.
As far as my threat assessment was concerned, running off and never seeing her again was an excellent result. I was pretty sure Amina wouldn't want to hear that, though. She continued,
I thought he was nice. I know at the time I said I knew what I was doing, but I'm actually not very good at meeting new people.
I knew from threat assessments on Rati's associates that he had a lot of relationships with all genders of humans and augmented humans, and he and they all seemed very happy about it. Amina should ask him for advice. I didn't think she wanted to hear that, either. Then Amina said,
Do you love my second mother? Tiago thinks so.
I should have known this was going to turn into an interrogation. I said, not the way he thinks. Her face went all dubious.
I don't think you know what he thinks.
He doesn't know what I think either, so there. I was distracted, converting a dump load of raw log info from a visual image back into searchable data, and if I got the fields wrong, it was going to be a giant mess. I probably should have just stopped talking, but I didn't want to hurt Amina's feelings. I said, Your second mother is... Client wasn't the right word, not anymore. My teammate. I could see I had to clarify. It was really hard finding the right words. Before your second mother, I had never been an actual member of a team before, just an... Amina finished, an appliance for a team. That was it. Yes.
I see. Thank you for letting me ask you questions.
Art must be recovering because it had to butt in with, Tell her you care about her. Use those words. Don't tell her you'll eviscerate anything that tries to hurt her. Art, fuck off. The thing Art has in common with human adolescence is that it doesn't like to hear the word no either. It persisted. Tell her. It's true. Just say it. Human adolescents need to hear it from their caretakers. I'm not a caretaker, I told Art. I finished the log conversion and checked my drone view of Amina. She was leaning in the hatchway, her head propped on the seal buffer. That isn't a good place to put your head, just FYI. From her expression, she was either falling asleep or deep in thought, or possibly both. I said, You need to sleep. She yawned.
Okay, third mom.
Arata finally ordered the others to take a rest period, though it took her a while to really understand that Art and I would still be active and there was no reason for the humans to take shifts. I finally had to tell her that I had a list of things I needed to get done, and it would go much faster if they would all stay in one place and shut up for a while, and sleeping was the most efficient use of that time. Oversay had finished repairing the repair drone and sent it off to begin the rebuilds of Art's other drones. She was sleeping on a couch in the lounge next to the galley with Rati, who had finished the biohazard cleanup. They were snoring. Arata was sleeping in one of the station chairs on the control deck. They're very comfortable, so it's not as bad as it sounds. The medical scans had finished, and Tiago walked Elytra back to her bunk room. He hadn't gotten much more out of her than Amina had, though his questions were more subtle. With his prompting, Elytra had gone over her augment clock and was now severely confused. It showed their transport had been in this system for 43 Corporation Standard Days. She was certain that was wrong. It was more support for the theory that Elytra had undergone some kind of memory manipulation. The initial scan analysis showed no genetic manipulation, no hidden devices or non-human biologicals. All my remaining drones were on sentry duty, but I made Amina go to an unused bunk room near the galley because it was easier to defend if we were attacked by something. It was unlikely, but so was everything unexpected that had happened so far. My risk assessment module had given up generating reports 3 hours ago. Amina tried to just lie down on the bare bunk and pillow her head on the sealed bedding pack, but I made her get up and unfold it and do it right.
"You're mean," she groaned.
I opened another bedding pack so my bunk would be more comfortable to sit on. I had a lot of coding and analysis to do, so I wouldn't be caught unprepared again. I needed to create workarounds for the drone-resistant camouflage on the target drones and countermeasures for the target's helmets and gear. I also needed to anticipate how target control system would countermeasure my countermeasures so I wouldn't be screwed by an on-the-fly software update. I needed to analyze the solid-state screen device and find out if it really was a pre-Corporation Rim relic, and I had to analyze the new data files I had just created from the shuttle's logs. I pulled in the data Rati had uploaded to the feed during his pathology examinations and the scans of the target's suits and helmets. Oversay had also done some helpful hardware analysis of the target drones. Then I got my queries and processes running so I could get started on the code. I also split off an input and started World Hoppers Episode 1. I'd seen it before, lots of times before, so I didn't need to give it my full attention. I really wanted some time to pull a new show out of long-term storage and watch a few episodes so I could really relax, but World Hoppers in background would help. It was also bait. After 27 minutes, it worked. I was aware of Art looming in my feed. Imagine sitting in front of a display surface and someone 8 times your size shoulders in and sits in the chair with you. It was watching World Hoppers, and also backseat driving my coding and doing its own analysis of the data. The solid-state screen device does resemble known schematics of pre-Corporation Rim technology, Art reported, showing me a scan and the matching examples. But it is not a factory-built unit. It was assembled from components gleaned from other devices of similar age. No trace of alien remnant or known strange synthetics detected. That made sense. It could have been a replacement unit built by humans in the pre-Corporation Rim colony. Or a unit built by the later abandoned corporate humans with parts desperately scavenged from the old colony as their own tech resources failed and they struggled to survive. Yeah, corporations suck. I liked the code we were coming up with, but I didn't think it was enough. None of it was making my threat assessment stats look any better. I told Art, "Everything we're doing is defensive. We need an attack."
I've considered constructing a killware assault, but the data I managed to retain from target control system suggests it would be ineffective. Art displayed some analysis for me. Both Rati and Oversay have theorized that some elements of the target's pre-corporation RIM technology, for example the implants, may be acting as receivers for esoteric alien remnant tech, like the object that affected my drive. A standard killware assault on the pre-CR systems would not be able to take into account the alien system, not unless it was variable and could alter its behavior based on the protections and obstructions it encounters. I can't code that with the resources I have available. It was talking about something similar to the self-aware virus that Graycris and Palisade Security had deployed against the company gunship, where I'd crashed myself and nearly wrecked my memory archive helping the bot pilot fight it off. Which gave me an idea, but I didn't know if it was something we could implement. Then Tiago crossed through the galley, came down our corridor, and leaned in the doorway. Watching him through Art's camera view, I saw him glance at Amina, who at the moment was an inert pile of limbs under a blanket with a pillow jammed into her face. Humans do everything weird, including rest. Then he looked at me. Keeping his voice low, he said, "May I join you?" Art engaged the sound privacy field on Amina's bunk. I thought about saying no, but I thought he wanted to sleep on one of the bunks within sight of Amina because he didn't trust me to take care of her. So I marked my killware idea as save for later and said, "Yes." He sat down on the bunk across from me, pulled the bedding pack out from under it, but then set it aside. "Oh, good. We're going to have a chat." "If you have a moment, I was hoping we could talk," he said. I could have said that I didn't have a moment, what with writing code to save humans from whatever the stupid targets were, but I did have a moment. Art had constructed a simulation of the software fix that had protected the target's helmets and gear from my drone strikes, and was running tests of my new targeting code for my drones. The target drone's camouflage was harder to crack due to being a physical effect rather than something caused by signal interference. None of the filters I'd come up with for the drone's scan or targeting functions would work, at least according to the simulations. Continuing to ram my head into that particular wall wasn't going to get me anywhere until I thought up an alternate approach. So instead of being an asshole, I just said, "Go ahead." He said, "I know you don't believe it, but I was glad you came along on this survey." "Oh, please." I could have played the audio recording I had of what he had said to Dr. Mensa about me, but that was a little incriminating with the whole listening to private conversations in secured spaces and personal dwellings thing. I said, "So, you didn't have serious reservations?" There was that little flash of surprise some humans have when I say something that doesn't sound like what their idea of a sec unit should say. He said slowly, "I did." It had been too long for a human to remember what he had said verbatim, and he didn't know I was quoting him. Still, his eyes narrowed a little. "And I know you've saved our lives." He hesitated. There was an unvoiced but on the end of that sentence. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on this, so I said, "But you don't like the way I did it." His gaze went hard, and he said, "I don't. And I don't like the fact that Amina saw you do it. But that's not the problem." On our private connection, Art said, "Don't ask the question unless you already know the answer." Right, so I didn't listen to Art. I said, "What problem?"
Art did the feed equivalent of rolling its eyes and started another episode of World Hoppers. Tiago said,
"You have leverage over Ada."
That one got me. Fortunately, Art was keeping track of the processes, so I didn't screw up the data analysis. It also provided a definition of the word leverage.
"I know what it means," I told Art privately.
And I did, but not the way Tiago meant, I think. I said, "I don't tell Dr. Mensa what to do." Tiago's jaw went tight.
"I'm sure you didn't, but she's afraid to carry out her duties as council leader. She won't apply to continue her term. That's because of you. You've made her afraid of shadows. She never needed security before you came to preservation. Now she thinks she can't do her job without it."
There were so many things wrong and unfair and yet true about that, I started dropping inputs. Art picked them up and transferred them to our shared workspace. I said, "I didn't come to preservation. I was brought there in an inactive state after incurring a catastrophic failure while saving Dr. Mensa's life."
"I know that."
Tiago waved a hand in frustration. "I'm saying..." "No, I get to talk now. There was a security threat. After Dr. Mensa returned to Preservation Station, 3 Grey Kris operatives were sent to kill her. They failed, but there was a 65% chance that more operatives would be sent. That percentage started to fall after the Bond Company destroyed Palisade Security and all of Grey Kris's operational facilities. It was Grey Kris's own fault for ordering Palisade Security to attack an expensive company gunship, and Palisade's fault for escalating past standard operational parameters. But try telling Grey Kris that. And it wasn't like the company was afraid of Grey Kris, but they had to teach them a lesson. The lesson was, if you're going to fuck with something bigger and meaner than you, use a quick targeted attack and then run away really fast. This is the way I always try to operate, too. Grey Kris's attack had not been quick and targeted, and they had failed to run away effectively. Tiago had his mouth open, but I was still talking. There was, and is, still a potential danger from individual dependents or employees of Grey Kris, but threat assessment determined that the percentage is low enough for Dr. Mensa to resume normal activities with the assistance of Preservation Station security. It took Tiago 14 seconds to digest that.
"There was an attack? Why didn't she tell us? It would have been in the news stream."
I pulled the video from my archive and quickly edited in the views from the station security helmet cams and the one lousy security cam in the lobby of the council offices on station. Art studied it curiously. I sent it to autoplay in Tiago's feed. His gaze went distant, then startled, then increasingly appalled. Art watched the full video, running it back and forth. I had sent Tiago the part where I was on top of the council table trying to snap Hostile One's neck, while Hostile Two was on my back, stabbing the absolute crap out of me. 6 station security officers were draped around the room in various states of consciousness, with Officer Tiffany, the only one still functional, hanging on to the stabbing arm of Hostile Two and punching him repeatedly in the head. Art commented, "What is that human stabbing you with?" "Part of a broken chair."
"They're sec units?"
Tiago asked, horrified. I can see why he might think that. I said, "They're augmented humans who were chemically enhanced. They don't feel pain. Their reflexes and reaction times are accelerated. They have the physical strength of a sec unit, but not the feed connectivity or processing capacity. So they're harder to detect, and even more disposable." To be fair, at this point Grey Kris probably couldn't get any other security company's license to produce and or deploy sec units to contract with them. Between the high-risk assessment and the lack of operating funds and the cheating attacking contract partners, Gray Chris wasn't a good client. Tiago took a breath, made himself calm down.
But they won't send anyone else? You said the threat percentage dropped.
It's at an acceptable level, and it hadn't been easy to get it to that level either.
Tiago watched me with a concentrated intensity I didn't like. Art's camera didn't have a full-face view, but it was obvious even with the angle.
Then why did she decide not to take a second term?
She didn't quit because she was afraid, you asshole. She quit because she needs to start the trauma support treatment at Central Medical. She didn't tell anyone in her extended family because being taken hostage...
In our private connection, Art said, "Stop."
Art has different ways of telling you to stop doing what you're doing, with different threat levels, and this was toward the top of the list.
I stopped.
Art explained, "You're violating her privacy."
I was pissed off, because of course Art was right. I said, "What do you know about it?"
"My med system is certified in emotional support and trauma recovery."
Ugh. Art did know everything. It was so annoying.
I finished. She wanted me to go on Arada's survey. I told her I would, but she had to agree to start the treatment. That was the leverage I had.
He was still watching me, and I couldn't tell if he believed me. His expression was conflicted, and I think he was still shocked at the recording.
It had looped through to the end of the clip where stupid Hostile 1 finally went inert, and I rolled myself, Hostile 2, and Tiffany off the table. Now Hostile 2 was trying to strangle Tiffany, and I was prying him off her.
Art said aloud, in its polite but actually not a suggestion voice,
"We have work to do, Tiago, and you're missing your rest period. Perhaps you should go."
It startled Tiago, but he pushed to his feet. He said, "You're right. I'll go."
I stopped the clip and watched him on Art's cameras. He went back to the galley lounge and took one of the other couches. He sat there for a while, rubbing his face, then got up to get water from the galley and take a medication tab.
"What is that?"
I asked Art. "A mild pain reliever for headaches and muscle discomfort." When Tiago went to lie down on the couch, I relaxed a little. He had thought I was taking advantage of Dr. Mensah? I still wasn't even sure what he meant. Did he think I was making her feel sorry for me? Hey, I hadn't asked her to buy me. I hadn't even been there when it happened. I'd been still stuck in a cubicle in reconstruction at that point. I wish I could feel all vindicated, but I didn't think that confrontation had gone well for either me or Tiago. I think he knew now that his view of the situation was inaccurate, but I had gotten mad and stupidly admitted to blackmailing Dr. Mensah to go start the trauma treatment. So, I didn't know what was going to happen if, you know, we survived and stuff and got back to preservation. Like I needed something else to worry about right now.
Art said, "You haven't seen the obvious solution to the target drone camouflage problem."
"Obvious?" I said. I know, I was just making it worse. Art wouldn't have framed it that way if it wasn't something that was going to make me feel like an idiot for missing.
Art said, "Modify your drones with a camouflage field that will display the same interference pattern as the target's helmets and gear. They still won't be able to strike the target drones, but then your supply is so limited that attack is now no longer viable."
Well, now I feel even more stupid.
Art said, "You have time for a recharge cycle."
I was going to tell it I didn't need one, and I really didn't. But I knew what I did need. I shifted everything over to our shared workspace and pulled up the first episode of Time Stream Defenders Orion. I asked Art,
"Do you want world hoppers or something new?"
Art considered, poking thoughtfully at the tag data for the new show. It said, "New. As long as it's not realistic." I downloaded Time Stream Defenders Orion off the Preservation Media Archives because it was pretty much the opposite of the whole concept of realistic. I started the first episode. We watched it while Art finished our code, occasionally sending sections to me to check over. Possibly it was humoring me. Art might still have memory archive gaps, but there was nothing wrong with its other functions. 26 minutes to the end of the designated rest period, Art said, "Using the data from the shuttle, I've located one of the Bearish Estranza vessels. My engine repairs are complete, and I am moving to intercept." Helpme.file, excerpt 3. Section from interview Bharadwaj, 10825739 4. "It's normal to feel conflict. You were part of something for a long time. You hate it, and it was a terrible thing, but it created you, and you were part of it." Session redacted. File detached from main narrative. I was sitting on top of Hostile 2 to make sure he was dead. He had been apparently dead at least twice, so this wasn't misplaced caution. Tiffany was on her knees beside me, her weapon pointed at his head. "You're too close," I told her. She looked at me, the skin around her eyes so swollen and puffy I'm not sure how well she could see. Then she edged back out of potential arm's reach. Behind me in the one stupid security camera, I saw the human second response team and their medical assistance bots belatedly crash through the door. I checked the time and wow. Scratch that belatedly. This had been a fast incident, even by SEC unit standards of fast. The Preservation Council meeting room was a big oval with a long table in the middle, the walls lined with tall, narrow windows, two entrances, exits on either end of the room. The one the second response team had come through led to the foyers and station government's public offices, where humans came to take care of things that couldn't be taken care of on the feed, I guess. I actually had no idea. The other door led into the private offices where the occupants of the council room had managed to evacuate to when the incident occurred. Senior Officer Inda circled around the table and knelt down where I could see her. She said, "Is that person dead?" "Probably, but there's a 17% chance he might revive," I said. Tiffany, her voice a strained rasp, said, "He came back twice. We need a containment unit." Inda's brow furrowed. "On the way." She reached over to Tiffany and carefully coaxed the weapon out of her hands. "You're off duty now, officer." Tiffany said, "Yes, senior," and folded over onto the floor. "She's had a hard day," I told Inda.
"I inferred that."
Inda tapped her feed, and a spidery-legged medical bot picked its way past me to crouch beside Tiffany. Making comforting noises, it scanned her and immediately injected her with something. Inda said,
"You need medical assistance, too."
I had a stab wound so large you could see the metal of my interior structure, but Senior Inda was too polite to mention it. The medical bot extended a delicate sensor limb toward me. On the feed, I told it anything it touched me with would get torn off and thrown across the room. It pulled the limb back and used it to check Hostile 2 instead.
"Is there any hope for the subject?"
Inda jerked her chin toward Hostile 2. I didn't think there had been a person inside Hostile 2 since before the first time we killed him. Probably not. I stayed in position until containment arrived to take care of our mostly dead Hostile 2 and the hopefully all the way dead Hostile 1. Tiffany and the rest of the first response team had already been carried off to station medical. I went the other direction, further into the council admin offices, because I needed to see her. I found her only 3 unsecured doors away. But at least it was an office without a balcony or windows onto the admin mezzanine. I walked past station security and admin personnel.
They should have tried to stop me, but A, it wasn't like they didn't know who I was, and B, it was a good thing they didn't try to stop me. Mensa was watching the door, and when I walked in, her shoulders relaxed. She knew the hostiles had been secured and that the first response team had survived. She had command access to the station security feed, and she'd been monitoring it from in here. There was a security lockdown on the public and private council feeds right now, and we needed to get them restored soon, before anybody outside the offices noticed. We had to keep Graycris from knowing this attack had nearly succeeded. It would give them too much intel about what to do next. Mensa met me in the middle of the room and did the hand thing that meant she wanted to grab me, but knew I wouldn't like it. She said,
"You need to go to medical."
There was dried blood on the tunic she was wearing, and on the right knee of her pants. Hostile One had charged at her across the council table, and I'd stopped him literally a half meter away from her. She could have reached out and patted his head. And that was after chasing him all the way here from the transit ring, while Hostile Two was trying to kill me. Slowing down Hostile Two long enough for me to mostly take out Hostile One was what had sent the entire first response security team to Station Medical. They were just lucky Two had been focused on trying to get past them and not slaughtering every human in the way. I said, "I can't go to medical yet. There's something I have to do first." Her expression was drawn.
"Do you need help? Inda's called in the off-duty personnel. I can get you a team."
"No. I just want to make sure I know how they got onto the station." She nodded and let me go. So, yeah, I'd lied to her. Chapter 11. I sent a wake-up call through the comm. While the humans in the galley lounge were staggering around trying to get conscious, Art fed the visual and scan images into the general feed. Amina rolled out of her bunk, blearily focused on the images, and muttered,
"So, is this good or bad or what?"
"It's or what," I told her. Art's scan image showed the Barish Astranza supply transport, a mid-sized configuration with capacity to carry multiple landing shuttles and large terrain vehicles. Crew complement was estimated at 30+. The schematic looked like several rounded tubes bundled together with odd sharp pieces sticking out in places. The visual image just showed the long dark shape, light from the primary star catching the top of a curve. Art said, "Long-range scan indicates systemic damage, though some systems, including life support, show operational. Aft and starboard hull in the engine housing show signs of three distinct weapon strikes, but the pattern does not match my weapons system." That last part was good. If Art had been the one to fire on the supply transport, it would have meant my adjusted timeline was wrong and that I'd been waiting in Art's ocean of status updates for nothing. Amina stumbled out of the bunk room and followed me to the galley where Tiago, Oversay, and Rati were. "So there was a space fight, just not the fight Perihelion remembered." Rati had gotten some packets and bottles out of the prep area for the humans. Amina took one of each and sat down at the table.
"We think the Barish Astranza Explorer vessel was armed, correct?"
Arata was still on the control deck, much more alert, looking at the multiple displays Art had put up for her. One of Art's newly repaired drones floated around behind her, using light filters to disinfect the stations and chairs. Arata absently stood up and moved her drink bottle so it could do her station.
"Any chance we can tell if it caused the weapon strikes?"
"Not without an analysis of the Explorer's weapons system for comparison," Art said. "Scan indicates minimal power in the engine module. That may be the reason they have not attempted to flee through the wormhole."
Tiago rubbed his face, trying to wake himself up.
"If they fought with their own explorer, they might be more willing to talk to us. Can you tell if there's anyone aboard?"
I assume so. Art was dry. They are attempting comm contact.
Don't answer it, I told Art. That's probably how you got into this situation in the first place.
Rati waved his drink bottle in what he thought was Art's direction.
Yes, please be careful. There was a terrible virus on a company ship, and we all nearly died, and SecUnit's brain was compromised.
SecUnit's brain is always compromised, Art said. And I was not breached via the comm. My comm system is filtered to prevent viral attacks, and I have engaged extra protections.
That's probably what you said right before it happened, I told it.
But Art insulting my intelligence was a good sign. It sounded almost normal again.
Amina sighed and wiped crumbs off her mouth.
Hey, you two, it's too early for fighting.
Arata was doing her mouth-twisted expression again. She said,
Perihelion, if you think it's safe, can you allow contact?
Oversay hastily swallowed her food.
Babe, is that a good idea?
Arata made an open-handed shrug gesture.
I don't know how else to figure out what's going on here, babe. If we can get a visual and they're all gray people wearing alien remnants on their heads, then at least we'll know they probably won't want to help us.
She added, and if we're a lot more lucky than we usually are, they'll have some idea where the explorer with Perihelion's people is.
That wasn't unreasonable. My threat assessment module didn't like it, but if we could get intel this way, it might mean we could find Art's humans sooner.
Tiago pressed his steepled fingers to his mouth, then said,
I agree. We know the explorer is compromised. If it attacked them, or if there is another ship we haven't encountered yet, we need to know.
Rati shrugged agreement. Oversay didn't look happy, but she didn't argue. Amina was still eating, eyes wide.
Art said, Accepting contact.
A new display appeared above the scan results on the control deck. The static swirled artistically into an image of a human or augmented human wearing the same red and brown uniform as Elytra and Ross. With impatience, the human said,
Unidentified transport. Are you receiving this?
Art pulled feed information from the transmission and ran it across the display. Name, Supervisor Leonid, augmented, Barish Estranza Exploration Services ID, gender, female, femme neutral. I wasn't surprised she was a supervisor. I had worked with a lot of human corporate supervisors, and after a while they were fairly easy to identify. Her skin was one of the mid-browns that was common to a large percentage of humans, but it had an artificially smooth, even tone that indicated cosmetic enhancement. My skin was less even than hers, and it gets completely regenerated on a regular basis due to me being shot in the face. Her dark hair was wrapped around the top of her head, and she had small metallics and gemstones set in the rim of one exposed ear. I thought there was a 49% chance that she was a much more important supervisor than the feed signature indicated. Arata sat up and squared her shoulders. The drone snatched the empty food packet from the console beside her and retreated out of camera range. She ran her fingers through her short hair and said,
Right. When you're ready, Perihelion.
Of course. Art put up another display showing Arata. It had changed the color of her jacket from preservation survey gray to the blue of its crew uniform, edited out the water bottle on the console beside her, and artistically adjusted the lighting. Arata planted a serious expression on her face as Art said,
I've sent my identifier and a corporation RIM feed indicator stating that you are Dr. Arata of the Pan System University of Mihira and New Tideland.
Arata said, Supervisor Leonid, we see your transport is in distress.
We are, and would appreciate any assistance.
Leonid's expression was opaque, but vaguely critical.
But this system is under claim by Barish Estranza, so I wonder why you're here.
Amina made the huffy noise indicating disbelief and or incredulity.
For the love of light, Rati said on the feed, disgusted. Are they really worried about that now?
Art was in Arada's feed supplying an answer, and Arada repeated, We have a contract for sustainability evaluation and mapping with the Pan Rim Licensing Agency, and this system was listed as a priority. I assure you, the university is not a terraforming entity, and we have no intention of violating your claim.
Arada's serious expression was a little too fixed, but it got more natural when she added, I see you've taken damage. Were you attacked by raiders?
The next hesitation wasn't calculated at all.
We've been in this system only a short time and encountered some strange activity.
On a side display in the galley, Art was breaking down Leonid's opaque expression for us with a feed superimposed analysis. She was experiencing everything from irritation to reluctant resignation. She said,
There are raiders here, as we've discovered.
Arada pressed her lips together and looked thoughtful. I had a bad feeling she was about to call Leonid a liar, which we all knew Leonid was lying, but even I knew that wouldn't make this interaction any easier. Then Arada said on the feed,
I'm going to tell her we have Elytra.
But you just told Leonid we're Perihelion's crew, Oversay objected. Elytra knows we're from Preservation.
She knows Amina is from Preservation, I sent.
Yes, Art told me to tell Elytra you were all part of its crew,
Amina confirmed. I was doing a rapid search of my recording of all the conversations in Elytra's hearing since the others had come aboard, particularly when Tiago had spoken to her. None of the rest of you told her you were from Preservation, and some of you are wearing Art's crew clothing. Oversay looked down at the t-shirt she was wearing.
Oh, you're right.
Art had thrown in some static to give Arada time to think. Now she said to Leonid, I don't think they're ordinary raiders. We have one of your crew on board, a young person named Elytra. She was captured in a shuttle by some very divergent raiders who also attacked our ship. She was with another crew member named Ross, but he was injured when he was captured by the raiders and died before our medical facility could help him. Leonid's expression went through some rapid calculations.
How did they get aboard your ship, then?
In the feed, Amina was worried.
But Elytra's really confused, she said. She's not going to be able to tell them much about what happened. Will they believe her? They won't accuse her of helping the targets or something, will they? Or do something terrible to her?
She needs more help than we can give her, Tiago told her. And she wants to go home to her family. This may be her only chance. Much as Amina might want to forcibly adopt Elytra and drag her off to Preservation, Tiago was right. Arada was saying, They were brought aboard by the raiders who tried to take us prisoner. I can let you speak to Elytra if you'd like. She's physically well, but we know they used some sort of mind-altering tech.
You're talking too much,
Art told her on the feed, right as I was about to say it. Oversay must have thought so too, because she made a faint noise of agreement. Arada stopped, and Art added a little artistic static to give her a chance to regroup, and to show her that its analysis of Leonid's expression revealed a spike of extreme interest at the words mind-altering tech. Arada cleared her throat and said,
So, maybe you could be more forthcoming? We're ready to render assistance if you need it.
Leonid's hesitation was more pronounced this time, and her expression said she was conflicted. She said finally,
I'm not allowed to speak further about this on a comm channel not confidential to Barish Astranza. I'd appreciate the return of our crew member. One of our engine components was destroyed in the attack. If you could sell us replacement components, our pay rate would be fair and generous.
We don't...
Arada was going to say need your payment, and the humans and I all yelled no on the feed. But Art had her on a 1-second delay and stopped her before it got any worse.
It was a natural mistake on Arata's part. In preservation culture, asking payment for anything considered necessary for living, food, power sources, education, the feed, etc., was considered outrageous, but asking payment for life-saving help was right up there with cannibalism. Arata coughed and continued,
"Of course, we'll prepare an invoice. But,"
she leaned forward,
"I think we both know how bad this situation is and how much danger our crews are in right now. If we could be honest with each other and share information, I think we can better our chances of survival."
Yeah, she had gone there way too quickly. The other humans had stopped breathing. Amina looked at me with an oh shit expression.
"Yes, I know. But there's nothing I can do about it."
Arata's risk assessment module was as bad as mine. Leonid's expression was complex. She said, after 8.7 fraught seconds where she might have been consulting with someone on her own feed, hopefully not a gray target person,
"Your crew is still in danger?"
Arata said, "Because I think we met your explorer. It was the ship that attacked us and temporarily boarded us, and our wormhole capacity is now damaged." Rati made a oomph noise. Tiago was pressing his folded hands against his mouth again, Leonid's lips set in a hard line.
"I see. I still can't speak on a non-confidential channel."
Arata hesitated and Rati whispered to me,
"What? Can we make the channel confidential? What does that entail?"
I told him, not without a Corporation Rim solicitor certified by Barish Estranza. Rati groaned under his breath. On the feed, Art was explaining the same thing to Arata. She said to Leonid,
"Would you be willing to come aboard and speak about it in person?"
I had a camera view of the lower part of the control deck where the drone was now sterilizing the area where targets 1 and 3 had died. It started working faster. Leonid snorted.
"Your university's confidentiality agreement would hardly cover me."
Arata gave her a good, it was worth a shot smile, like she had any clue what Leonid meant. Then Leonid said,
"But I'd allow you to come aboard my transport for a conference."
Tiago took a sharp breath. Rati's expression went extremely skeptical. Amina made a derisive noise. Oversay said,
"Fuck no."
On our private connection, Art said,
"Should I cut the contact?"
"No," I told it. "She won't do it." We already had a way to get intel off the transport. We could send drones along with the supplies. Then Arata said,
"I can do that.
If you'll send me the list of supplies you need, I'll get my team working on that, and we can arrange the transfer of supplies and your crew person and the meeting at the same time."
"What?"
The other humans all looked at me, appalled. I was also appalled. Leonid kept her expression neutral.
"Agreed, though I'd like to speak to my crew member first."
Arata said, "Agreed. Give me a moment to arrange that." Art put the contact on hold and said,
"Clear."
And then it did one of my "what the hell have the humans done now" sighs. Obviously, there was a big human argument. In order to head off the inevitable, "I told you so," I said to Art, "I should have told you to cut the contact." Art said to me,
"Yes, you should have."
To the others, it said, "They've sent the list of components. Since we're now committed to this course of action, I've ordered a drone to pull the material out of storage, and I'm producing standard crew clothing for Arata." By that point, the argument had ended, and Arata was still going to the supply transport, though all the humans had elevated heart rates, indicating varying degrees of anger and exasperation. Tiago's expression was grim.
"If we're going to do this, we need to get Elytra ready to speak to Leonid. Maybe before that she can tell us something about her. Amina, will you help?"
Amina tried not to look startled.
"Huh? Oh, sure. Uncle?
They headed down the corridor. Arata turned to Oversay and said, I know you're upset, but this will save us a lot of time. Oversay said through gritted teeth,
Rescuing you, or trying to recover your body, will not save us time.
Rati pressed his hands over his eyes and dragged them down his face in a way that did not look comfortable. He said, We need a plan. What are you going to say? In the corridor, Amina was saying,
I didn't think you'd want my help. I mean, you all think I'm impulsive.
No one thinks that, my daughter.
Tiago signaled through the feed to Elytra, telling her they wanted to come in.
Your parents wouldn't have let you come on this survey if they didn't trust your judgment.
From Amina's expression, that was news to her, but the door to the bunk room was already sliding open. Oversay was still mad, though when Rati asked for her help, she followed him down to the storage module to make sure the drones could shift the supply container into the bulk airlock.
I could have helped, but I think Rati wanted to give Oversay a chance to vent and calm down, and I did not want to be there for that.
Amina had just shown Elytra a feed image of Leonid and asked if she was really who she said she was. At first, Elytra looked relieved.
Yes, that's Supervisor Leonid. She's in charge of the supply transport.
Then her expression turned slowly confused.
The supply transport.
She pressed her hands to her head.
Why am I not on the supply transport?
Can you speak to Supervisor Leonid on the comm? Tiago asked her, just to tell her what happened to you. Elytra nodded, but said,
It's hard enough telling you, and you all were there.
Her forehead creased again.
Weren't you?
Just tell her what you can,
Tiago said gently, and Art used the display surface in the bunk room to open the comm contact again. I was worried enough to monitor the conversation, and I could feel Art's attention in the channel, but Elytra confirmed her capture by the targets and said that she had been rescued by the ship's crew and their sec unit. She gestured toward Amina.
And a young person, an intern from another survey company.
She knew Ross had been killed, but she wasn't sure how. When Leonid pushed her for details, she said,
The Gray Raiders, they put some kind of augment or something in us. It did something to us.
She gestured at her head.
It's messed up my whole perception of time. I can't remember leaving the supply transport. Or the Explorer.
Leonid told her that was enough and sent the connection to her cargo factor to arrange the transfer. Arata's face was set in a wince, possibly in anticipation of further objections to her plan that everyone clearly hated. We were still standing in the lounge. I was going to change the name on Art's schematic to Argument Lounge. And she looked tired.
Are you mad at me too, Sec Unit?
I said, yes. I'm also going with you. Really, I was the only one who needed to get over there, and it would be better than sending drones that I wouldn't be able to retrieve. But I don't think Supervisor Leonid, who wasn't too happy letting Arata visit, would say yes to the question, Hey, can our sec unit come over instead? It just wants to stand in your transport for, say, 3 minutes. No reason. It just enjoys looking at other people's ships. On the feed, Oversay said,
Yes, please. Arata, Sec Unit has to go with you.
She sounded normal again. I had a camera view and audio on a tertiary input of her and Rati standing in the foyer to Art's bulk lock, with her waving her arms and talking angrily while he nodded sympathetically, and three of Art's repaired drones hovered around them. It ended with her apologizing to Rati for venting at him and being angry at herself for getting angry at Arata during a crisis. I could play it back to listen in on the whole conversation, but I could also punch myself in the head with a sampling drill, and I was not going to do that either. If I got angry at myself for being angry, I would be angry constantly, and I wouldn't have time to think about anything else. Wait, I think I am angry constantly. That might explain a lot. Arata's expression was complicated. Then it settled on relief.
Okay.
I wasn't going to ask, but that's probably a very good idea. She took a shaky breath. Thank you.
You don't have to thank me for doing my stupid job. But it is nice.
In the bunk room, Tiago was trying to reassure Elytra. He told her,
You sound much better. I think speaking to someone you know helped.
I sent to Amina, ask her if there are sec units on either the Explorer or the transport. Amina did. With what seemed a reasonable amount of confidence under the circumstances, Elytra said,
Yes, there were three on the Explorer.
But none on the supply transport?
Amina clarified. Elytra nodded.
Right. The Explorer carries the contact party. Everyone on the transport is support staff.
I told Amina, ask her if the sec units were made by Barish Estranza or if they were contracted rentals.
I didn't think they would be company units. The last thing you wanted when you were asserting rights over an unclaimed colony was the company getting its greedy data mining hands all over it.
Amina repeated the question, adding to me,
Rentals is a creepy way to talk about people.
Yes, Amina, no shit, I know that. And I knew this was all new and horrifying to Amina, but it was just same old for me and Elytra and her permanently indentured family. Which was why I was saying this silently to myself instead of out loud to the whole ship.
Elytra answered, No, there wasn't any contracted equipment involved in this job. They didn't want to chance another corporation finding out what we were doing.
Tiago watched Amina thoughtfully, as if he suspected she was talking to me on the feed. Then Elytra's expression started to drift again, and he hurriedly distracted her with a question about her family. Amina said on our private feed,
You're going with Arata?
Yes, I told her.
Amina said, If there were three sec units on the Explorer, why didn't they stop the targets from taking over, or whatever they did? And the targets didn't seem to have any idea what you were.
I told her, the sec units on the Explorer would have been under the control of a supervisor, either directly or through a hub system. If the targets got control of either, the sec units would have to obey an order to stand down. Which is why I hate hostage situations. You have to get in there fast and neutralize the hostage takers. They can't make threats and force you to do stuff you don't want to do if they're unconscious or dead. If the targets knew what I was, they may have thought they could order you to stop me.
Amina snorted.
Sure, right.
Amina was implying that I wouldn't listen to her, which, right, I wouldn't, not in that situation. But also there was so much about the targets that we didn't understand. It was a data vacuum big enough for us all to fall in and die, including Art. Arata's expression had gone preoccupied. The Barish Estranza manager had sent the specs for the needed supplies and transfer logistics, and she was going over it with Art in the feed. Then she asked me,
So they'll know you're a sec unit because Elytra will tell them, so how should we handle that?
I wasn't sure what that meant, but I wasn't sure Arata knew what that meant either. Her experience with sec units was limited to exclusively me. I said, I'll be the sec unit the university provided for your security. I really expected Art to weigh in here, at least with some kind of rude noise, but it didn't comment. Listening on the feed, Rati was dubious about the whole idea.
Wouldn't you be wearing armor then?
Not necessarily. Some contracts require sec units to patrol living spaces, and that's usually done in uniform instead of armor. There are the standardization guides for the manufacture of constructs, but most humans wouldn't know that. As long as I didn't have to walk into a deployment center filled with sec units and the human techs who built and disassembled us, my risk assessment module thought everything was great. I know it worries me when I say that too. Then Art said,
Your configuration no longer matches sec unit standard.
Art knew all about that because it was the one who had altered my configuration to help me pass as an augmented human.
That, combined with the code I'd written to change the way I moved, to add the random movements, hesitations, blinking, and all the things that said human to other humans, made it easier to get by, though I'd still had to rely a lot on hacking weapon scanners.
That's right.
Arata turned to me, her brow pinching up in worry.
You look different since we first met you. You've let your hair grow out a little.
Some of Art's changes to my configuration had been subtle. Longer head hair, more visible eyebrows, the kind of fine, nearly invisible hair humans had on large sections of their skin, the way my organic skin met my inorganic parts. Other changes had been structural to make sure scanners searching for standard sec unit specifications wouldn't hit on me. I also got shorter, I told her.
Did you?
Startled, Arata stepped back, eyeing the top of my head. Lack of attention to detail is one of the reasons humans shouldn't do their own security. But humans do detect subliminal details and react to them, whether they're consciously aware of it or not. Even on preservation, especially on preservation, I ran my code to make my movement and body language more human to keep from drawing attention. I was running it now, out of habit. When I stopped it, I'd look a lot more like a normal sec unit, even without armor. Normal equals neutral expression concealing existential despair and brain-crushing boredom. Arata and Rati still wanted to argue, so I said, if they ask, and they won't ask, say I'm an academic model designed specifically for your university. Art said,
I would prefer you go as an augmented human.
What I really needed right now was a giant, omniscient, machine intelligence second-guessing me. I don't care what you prefer, I said. It was safer this way. We were trying to tell one big lie, that we were Art's crew, and it would be easier to make that believable if we kept the smaller lies to a minimum. The fact that I was a sec unit and that Arata had contracted for me as security was true, if in a different way than the corporates would assume. I could have said all that, but instead I said, it's my decision and you can shut up.
Don't fight,
Amina said, coming back into the galley. Tiago was heading to the bulk lock to help Oversay and Rati. Arata was still watching me dubiously, absently humming and tapping her teeth, and I realized there was another problem. To Arata, I wasn't her sec unit, I was her co-worker, and she was my team captain. That's a whole different spectrum of body language. Also, she wasn't even slightly afraid of me, and even my most confident and contemptuous corporate clients had always been just a little nervous, no matter how hard they tried to cover it. The ones who weren't confident and contemptuous were incredibly nervous. It hadn't exactly been fun for me, either. I asked her, can you treat me like a sec unit? On the feed, Oversay said,
she asked Arata, can you?
Sure, Arata shrugged, clearly having absolutely no idea what we meant by that. Down in the module dock with Rati, Oversay sighed. She told me,
right. I'll work on that with her real quick before you go.
I tapped her feet in acknowledgement. Arata demanded,
what?
I went into an empty bunk room to change into the crew uniform Art had just made me. It was dark blue, the pants and jacket of a deflective fabric that was way better than what Preservation Station security had, with lots of sealable pockets for weapons and drones, plus stability fabric boots so tough, I could probably use them to jam a closing hatchway open. It looked like what a human security person would wear. It looked like what a sec unit should wear instead of a cheaper version of the contract's uniform. I don't know. Maybe security company-owned sec units wore something like this. It had Art's crew logo on the jacket, but somehow that didn't bother me as much as usual. I was a little worried the hair on my head would be noticed. After Milu, I had made it this length so I wouldn't look like a sec unit, and now I had to look like a sec unit again. Art, watching me watching myself in a camera while poking at my head, pointed me to the bunkroom's attached bath, where there was a dispenser for things humans needed. One was a lubricant-like substance that, when I followed the instructions, flattened my hair down so it looked shorter. That looked more sec unit-like. Since Art had apparently decided to be helpful and stopped sulking like a giant angry baby, I said, "Why do you want me to pretend to be an augmented human? This way is easier."
"You don't like it," Art said.
"That's my problem. I didn't like it. But if you put everything that had happened to me on a scale of awfulness and assigned exact values to each incident, which I had done once, it's in my archive somewhere, dealing with corporates who exploited failed colonies and probably went through sec units as fast as Amina did fried vegetable crunchy things, was in the lower third of the chart. Despite what I told Amina, the existence of the sec units on the Explorer worried me. If they had been captured and not destroyed, they were a way for the targets to get intel about what I was capable of.
"When my crew is at risk, it's my problem," Art said.
I was getting tired of being told what to do. Self-determination was a pain in the ass sometimes, but it beat the alternative by a lot. I made sure my collar was folded down so you could see my data port, though anybody who tried to stick a combat override module in there was going to get a violent surprise, and walked calmly out of the bunkroom into the galley. Amina was sitting on the table, frowning at me. She said, "What are you two fighting about now?" Art said,
"I made sec units uniform too nice."
Amina nodded.